Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week. Now, for those loyal Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners, we had some issues with Jason yesterday where he kept, his phone call kept dropping. Like, we started off the show, we were kind of having a good time, and then seemingly anytime we actually tried to talk football with Jason, the phone call dropped. So, apparently we're having those same issues, which doesn't make sense, because he was on your show last night, right? You had no problems with Jason last night?
That is correct, yes. We had no problems. In fact, he was on for an extended period of time with Brian Bulaga.
So, I don't know. Something about us, I guess. I don't know. So, we're fixing to work working on fixing that issue. So, hopefully, we will have Jason shortly. We were talking about Miz. It's Miz Day.
Yeah,
happy
what's
Miz Day
this
to
deal
everybody.
Stuff you're going to have? You're going to have some Miz stuff?
Oh, yeah. So, we are going to be later in the show. We are going to take three contestants, and the first one's going to get the first choice between, they get to choose if Miz is going to have between 6 and 8 strikeouts.
Oh. Randomly assigned. Sorry.
Oh, randomly assigned.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
They're going to be randomly assigned. Okay.
Yes.
I thought this was like over under type stuff. No. So we'll take three contestants. Then they're going to be randomly assigned. One will have between 6 and 8 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
One will have between 9 and 11 strikeouts. And then the third will have 12 or more strikeouts. And whoever amongst that ends up being right will win Brewers tickets.
I don't get any Miz stuff, just Brewers tickets.
That's,
so I get tickets to the next Miz home game. All right, okay, that sounds
just
good.
That's, you know, it's Brewers
yes,
tickets.
I get it. That's
second
good.
Best team in baseball.
No. There are two games when the Brewers play. Miz pitches or Miz doesn't.
Doesn't pitch?
Yes.
Well, we can't promise that.
Oh, and then by the way, they do have a record and they have all these other things.
By the way, James, the postman, saying he believed that Miz had an immaculate inning. In the second inning, he did not. So an immaculate inning is you have to strike everybody out. In that second inning against the Phillies, he had 2 strikeouts. He had 9 pitches, but the middle batter grounded out.
Wait, hold on. I'm a little slow here.
Okay.
This. 3 hitters.
Yep.
And they all strike out.
On 3 pitches.
Is perfect.
That is an immaculate inning.
Okay, what's perfect?
So a perfect game.
No, a perfect inning.
Isn't there's no perfect inning. That's okay, not a thing. So immaculate inning is...
All you can do in one inning of note
yes,
is
the
9 pitches,
yep, 9
3 strikeouts.
Yep.
So if you strike out all 3 hitters, but it's more than 9 pitches...
Correct.
We should call that a Miz.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. As
or
Jason,
something else, or Nolan Ryan or something.
Well, yeah, what's a working title?
I don't know, but because if you face 3 hitters and strike out all 3...
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often.
No.
Yes. And maybe it's 10 pitches. If it's 10 pitches, it's a Miz.
It's a Miz.
Yeah.
You mix
right.
One more in there.
All right.
As Jason Wilde joins the program. Good morning, Jason. We'll try our best to, I guess, keep you on the line. I think you didn't have any issues with Homer yesterday. So I'm assuming I am taking this personal and saying that you have an issue with me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not an issue with you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow and 3 hours with you and Strofe at Summerfest. I am not touching my phone. I'm trying something different.
Okay.
I've set it down away from me. I didn't have issues with Homer. That is true. Yesterday, I didn't have issues with Kyle and Brust. I don't know what the issue is. I appreciate your patience. And I love the fact that while I was hoping that it wouldn't drop, you were talking to Homer about the Miz who... Homer was at Summerfest yesterday during, obviously, for the entirety of his show, but including during my segment when trying to find someone's glasses for them. But he also compared Miz to seeing someone walk on water at Lake Michigan. So it's great that you're discussing the immaculate inning because that feels a little bit strong, especially from such a devout Catholic. Like
I thought
Homer,
I toned it down. I used to say it's like Jesus is a minister at your church. Do you really care when anybody else speaks? It's like, when's Jesus coming back?
It's good you dialed the back.
Yeah, but I like that one. I like that one better.
All right,
personally.
Okay.
I got to be honest. I thought that was fantastic. It would be amazing. Like, I'd start going to church again if Jesus was preaching,
and you got
every
preachers,
fifth Sunday.
Jesus and everybody else.
Yeah.
Who's preaching? Fred. No, that's not the question.
Yeah. Pastor Fred, sorry, I'm not going to make it this week. I'm sleeping in. Yep.
So, Jason, we were talking yesterday about tight ends and contracts. I guess do you expect Tucker Kraft, again, now that some of these other contracts have been done, and I guess Sam Laporta would also be somebody who would be on that list, as we briefly talked about yesterday, for the Tucker contract, are they going to get that done before training camp? And if they do, would they wait to announce it until kind of right before training camp to kind of, you know, start training camp off with some positive news and a big bang?
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, Gabe, they've done that multiple times, right? I mean, Kenny Clark, I remember watching him work out on the heavy bags by himself for a day until he got his contract. Obviously, Jordan Love came to camp and didn't participate, and the Packers seem to be supportive of that and understanding of that. Again, I think as we talked about, Tucker Kraft is in an interesting position because he's coming off of the ACL tear, so they have a built-in, it'll get done when it gets done, and once it does, we'll take him off the PUP list. So I expect him to kind of start camp there if the deal's not done. I am curious. I mean, he left a lot of breadcrumbs for us as we talked to him during the mini camp, and he sounded like a guy who, you know, he obviously said that he wants to spend his entire career with the Packers, which only a select few have been able to do, although two of them are on our airwaves in Tausch and Chewy. Leroy Butler did it. Donald Driver did it. But it's not easy to do, including for the quarterbacks that have come through here and are headed to Canton or are already there. So I think he made it very clear without explicitly saying it that he ain't getting on the field if he doesn't have a new contract. Now, I did notice on social media, our guy Rich Ryman, who covers kind of the business side of the Packers for the Press Gazette up here, and then this must get a lot of clicks, man, because he's constantly writing about Packers people, coaches or players who put their houses on the market.
Yep.
Most of them usually after they've, yeah, see, me too. Works for me. I always click the embedded link to the realtor. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you want to see what the house looks like. This may sound really dumb to like the younger audience, but trust me, when you hit a certain age, you're just curious. What does that house look like? Like it just happens.
I just care about the price.
Yeah.
Like Green Bay? You got houses that much in Green Bay? Seriously?
It's also why HGTV is watched by so many people.
Yep.
That are grown-ups, and there aren't a lot of kids going, God, I really got to check out the hometown team to see what they're renovating this week. But he did sell his house in New Franken, and I saw someone post it on social media, and I think it was somebody in the Packers Twitterverse, and I don't know if their intent was to indicate that he's not expecting a contract and he's going to be leaving, but I actually did a little digging, and I had a couple people inform me that he just bought a new house and a larger one in a different community outside of Green Bay. So I think the all signs point to him fully expecting getting an extension, and it's just a matter of when, not if, and a matter of how much is he the highest paid tight end in football by.
You have a question, Homer? No? Because you used all your questions from Jason yesterday?
I don't mean to be whatever, but after what happened yesterday, the pregnant pause, so not helpful.
Oh. Well, I thought Homer was going to go.
Oh God, how long have I been talking to myself again?
No, I'm in an assistant role here today. How close is he to being the best tight end now?
I don't know. It's kind of like ice cream. Do you like mint chip? Do you like Rocky Road?
But isn't it too early for him to be the highest paid tight end?
No, it's not about, let's be honest, it's not entirely about what you do. It's about the timing of when you become eligible for an extension, right? And so, yeah, nobody's talking about Luke Musgrave, who's in the same draft class. I would say this. If you want a tight end who is like Trey McBride, or Kyle Pitts, and I think Trey McBride does a little more of this stuff, but those guys are kind of, they're like JerMichael Finley, who was an awesome pass-catching tight end, right? Keith Jackson, especially in his prime, which obviously he wasn't quite in when he came to Green Bay and teamed up with Chew, but like there's that type of tight end, and then there's the do-it-all tight end. And again, Tausch was killing me 2 years ago, before Tucker Kraft had really exploded, for saying that he was a lot like Chewy in that he did everything well. And as Chewy has now even acknowledged, he's gone beyond how well Chewy did all those things. Like, he is a full, complete, total package tight end. And there aren't a lot of guys that can do all those things. That's what makes him valuable. And yes, I do believe, as he said, he thought he was the best tight end. I think his phrase was tight end one in the NFL at the time of his injury. He plays like 90% of the snaps. He blocks. He catches. He sells concessions during the game. Like, he does everything. And there's not a lot of tight ends like that. So, yes. Given the timing of when he's eligible for a contract, he is definitely deserving of that moniker. And then someone else is going to surpass him at some point, and maybe quickly. We'll have to wait and see. I'll be honest, I'm not super well-versed in who else is up for contracts besides LaPorta.
I think he's better than LaPorta.
That's kind of the question is, forget the contracts, rank the top three tight ends. I thought he's very good. I just hadn't said he's the best tight end in the NFL, but I'm not so sure who I would have as number one, given the age of some of them. So I'm curious.
I would say he's the best young tight end in the NFL for sure, because he does everything. Like, has he surpassed George Kittle? I mean, Kittle's coming off Achilles, right? So I don't even know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season. I know he was at tight end university this week, and I don't know. I didn't see if Tucker Kraft was there. Did Luke Musgrave go too, or did they not invite him?
I did not see it. There was some social video that I saw of Tucker where he was answering questions. So if Luke Musgrave was there, they were not asking him to do social media things for tight end U.
They don't ask him to block either. They put somebody else in.
Each their own. As Jason Wilde joins us on the Yingling guest hotline, Bill Barnwell yesterday had one of Chewy's favorite things that happens every year, and ranking NFL teams by their offensive skill positions. So wide receiver, running back, tight end, placing an emphasis on star power, wide receiver being the most important there based on how, again, wide receivers get paid in the league. The Packers came in at 17th for the third consecutive year. Does that sound about right to you?
Well, if it's based on star power, I'd be curious, like, where did the Vikings finish, right? They got Hockenson. They've obviously got Jay Jettis. They've got Jordan Addison. I'm not sure who their running back is going to be besides Aaron Jones.
The Packers,
Jordan Mason, yeah, Jordan, and DeMond Claiborne.
The Packers were last in the NFC North.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand why that they don't have a proven number one wide receiver. They don't have a 1,000-yard receiver. you know, Tucker Kraft was on his way to, I think he was on pace for 1,000 yards last year, if I remember what I wrote at the time of his injury.
He was on pace, like, and then if you would have extrapolated out Christian Watson, if he didn't miss the first six games, he would have also had 1,000 yards.
Right, but he did, and so they don't have, like, they don't have a 1,000-yard receiver since Davante Adams left. And they spent a year with very nice guy, very good blocking wide receiver, but they spent a year with Alan Lazard as their number one receiver. So I don't have any problem with them being kind of middle of the pack, a little bit below the middle of the pack. But at the same time, like, I don't think Bill Barnwell is projecting there. I think he's doing it based on proven commodities, right? And we who watch Christian Watson all the time know that when he's healthy, he's pretty darn good, but he has not consistently been healthy. We who have watched Jaden Reed lead them in receiving 2 years running before breaking his collarbone last year and trying to play through a Jones fracture in his foot know that he can do some pretty electrifying things. But last year he only ended up playing in, what, 7 games? He got hurt in week 2.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Tucker Kraft is, but he's coming off an ACL. So I don't have a problem with where they're ranked. But what I would argue is that Watson, Reed, Golden, Kraft, and Josh Jacobs, if that offensive line can, I don't know, allow him to get a yard each time he touches the ball before he has to absorb contact, I like that group. Now, do I like that group better if they still had Dontavian Wicks as, like, their 3/4 receiver? I do, but they got 2 draft picks for him in that trade. So as much as I'd like to say to Goody, I'd kind of feel a little bit better if at least a little bit more depth was that wide receiver. They're counting on Savion Williams to elevate. And my guy, Bo Melton, is going to get an opportunity to play rotationally more than before.
I can't believe you talk about him as much as you do.
Bo?
Yeah.
I really like him as a human. I think you need to have people like him.
It's what John Anderson talked about.
I really do.
What the box got? Parts. Okay, he's a part. You think he's more than that?
He is a part. I think culturally he definitely is. Like, I would say this, and this is not hyperbole.
Compare him to a Packer wide receiver in the past. That's what would be my question.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, from a production standpoint, you know, from Chewy's era, he's like Terry Mickens. But
I don't ever remember anybody talking about Terry Mickens much as you have.
Yeah,
Terry had
a
hell of a game when free.
Whatever you guys remember.
Robert was down.
I remember never
Beebs
talking about Terry Mickens.
Right. Don Beebe. I mean, he's not, you know, he's probably more like Don Beebe, frankly, although he never ran anybody down in the Super Bowl. But again, and I swear this is not hyperbole.
He's Don Beebe.
I don't know. I love Don Beebe, and I can't wait to see the movie that his son is playing him in the film that he's producing about his life. I don't think in my 30 seasons, as I head into season 31, I don't think there is a player on any of those teams that his teammates loved more and was so unique when it came to the team's chemistry as Bo Melton. I mean, you have to understand, like, there were guys late last season that they were rooting for him to play corner and wide receiver in that meaningless Minnesota game. Like, there are guys that, like, this is a guy that changed positions. Yes, in part to stay on the roster. I'm not making it sound like he did this
spot on the roster. Come on, Jason.
Right.
I played cornerback as much as him and Will.
Right. But here's the thing. I don't think they would have cared enough to make up a different roster spot for you to keep you on the team. Like, he is, given his statistical production, which, by the way, he had another touchdown last season when he actually got to play wide receiver. His statistical production as compared to his chemistry value on that team, it is a wide swath of difference. I totally agree. I am not making him out.
Chemistry value on the team. Got to write that one down.
I am telling you, I have never seen a player more beloved by his teammates, and universally so, than Bo Melton. I'm just and that's why they keep him around. The coaching staff loves him. I mean, I would venture to say that maybe even Goody loves him, and Goody doesn't seem to love anybody when it comes to players.
Thanks for the Terry Mickens update. I don't know. Was Terry Mickens that well loved?
Right.
I don't know who was.
Well, he was just saying from a
from
a production standpoint.
Right, but chemistry value on the team. That's a topic for the future.
Terry Mickens
Jason.
Played on a bunch of special teams units. I think it's a pretty good comp.
And it'd be, I know. Well,
that,
so I'd say Bo Melton's a special teams guy. That's what I would say. That's not.
He's caught some pretty big touchdowns.
All right.
He caught one in a playoff game. He's better than Terry Mickens.
Okay.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. State of the Packers, you, me, Strofe at Summerfest. That starts at noon right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
All right, guys. I made it through the entire call. I think the key is to just leave the phone flat, set down, not touch it. I think it worked.
No, the key is if you mention Bo Melton,
the connection is strong.
Right, it's the power of Bo. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There was another article, by the way, written this week. We'll dive into these questions from Rob Domofsky. The four lingering questions before training camp. We dive into that coming up next. Cold beer, warm summer nights, and the people that matter most. That's the spirit of Yuengling Lager. From small town main streets to packed stadium parking lots, Yuengling Lager has been bringing people together for generations. It's a real American beer, smooth, rich, and now available right here in Wisconsin. I tell everybody about it, and whenever I can get it, I make sure I've got one in my hand. Tailgates, backyard barbecues, fishing trips, ball games, Yuengling Lager belongs wherever Americans come together. It's been brewed with pride since 1829, so crack open a Yuengling Lager and raise a toast to American tradition. DJ Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.